back to politics now and our scientific understanding of genetically modified organisms. Washington could become the first state in the union to require GMO labels if voters approve Initiative 522. That's the initiative to require mandatory GMO labels. A new King 5 poll shows voters leaning to approving 522, but the undecided vote could swing it either way if they decide. To try and make sense of the issue, beyond the advertising on both sides of this initiative, I talked with Sandy Doughton. She writes about GMOs. She's a science reporter for the Seattle Times. And we started talking about what exactly the initiative would do.
This initiative would require most foods that are produced using genetically modified ingredients or genetically engineered ingredients to be labeled as such.
It seems very simple.
It does.
And yet it's a very complex campaign.
It is a very complex campaign because there are a lot of things that people are considering, and there are a lot of, you know, viewpoints that people have about various aspects of this issue. It's not just a science question. It's a question about control of the food supply. You know, a lot of people feel strongly that everything in the food should be spelled out, that there should be transparency. A lot of people don't like the fact that big corporations control a lot of this technology. So all of those issues come together and converge around this debate.
So in terms of the labeling, we asked the yes side about labeling, Trudy Bialik of PCC, and here's the case she made for labeling.
This is a very well-written, clear measure that will provide people more information, more choice, more information on hundreds of foods when they're shopping in grocery stores. And I think that it's time to pass something now so we have the right to know in this state what we're eating, choosing for ourselves without government or out-of-state corporations deciding for us. And right now, that's what's happening. We have government and out-of-state corporations deciding for us what goes in our grocery bag. That's not the way this country is supposed to work, and that is not a free market.
That's Trudy Bialik on the Yes on 522 campaign. What's your understanding of the case for labeling?
Well, I think she laid it out pretty clearly. It's a question of, you know, from the perspective of the Yes campaign, it's a question of transparency and wanting to know whether, you know, genetically engineered ingredients are used in your food, regardless of whether you're concerned about their safety or environmental impacts for whatever reason. You're concerned about them, or, you know, you just want to know.
So here's what the no side says on that same question. Dana Bieber is a spokeswoman for the No on 522 campaign.
Voters ought to oppose Initiative 522 because it provides inaccurate, incomplete, and inconsistent information. And what that ends up doing is misleading consumers about the foods that we eat.
From your point of view, what's the case against labeling? Sandy Doughton.
People say that the labels really won't tell you that much about what's in your food. So, and that's true. It won't tell you if it's genetically engineered corn or soybean or in what way the crop was genetically engineered. So that's one argument against labeling.
It's just going to be a big broad, this product contains GMO foods or GMO substances.
Correct. And I think, you know, a lot of people in the industry, you know, I mean, I don't know that they come out and say this, but they rightly fear that people won't buy these products if they have that label on them. And that remains to be seen.
Sandy Doughton is a Seattle Times science reporter. So critics of GMOs concerned about Roundup Ready. I asked the no side about this concern.
Okay, Roundup, there's Roundup Ready crops and then there's Roundup.
Yes, Roundup Ready crops means what?
Roundup, those are GE crops. Those are the crops that they actually use less pesticides, less herbicides.
Do they not spray Roundup around those crops? Isn't that how they're used?
I'm not certain which product they end up spraying on it, but I know my understanding is they spray.
Well, that's why they're Roundup Ready, I thought.
Well, they spray Roundup on all kinds of crops. So you have to be really clear. When, you know, the proponents like to give out these scare tactics of all these figures of this, that, and the other.
Do GMO crops lead to more or less use of insecticides and herbicides?
You have to look at each crop individually. And most of the evidence points to a reduction in the use of insecticides, bug killers, on cotton and corn engineered to produce this natural pesticide, BT. Because it's there, it's in the crop. Farmers don't need to spray their fields. And they also don't need to spray more toxic insecticides that, have been used in the past. On the Roundup Ready front, most of the evidence points to an actual increase in the use of herbicides.
Given the questions about BT, BT is a naturally occurring substance, but it is used as an insecticide. What are the concerns supporters of 522 have about something like Bacillus thuringiensis?
Well, a lot of people just don't like the idea of eating a food that is engineered to produce something that kills insects. So a lot of people are just put off by that idea, even though this particular insecticide is considered so mild that it's allowed to be used on organic fields. Though, of course, it's probably not used as heavily on organic fields as it is in crops that are engineered to actually produce it in their tissues.
There's two questions here, and let me ask you one question, then I want you to listen to a piece of tape. How do voters decide on balance whether GE foods are good or bad for the environment?
You know, I mean, I think everybody has to sort of reach that judgment for themselves, what issues they consider most important. I don't think there's a clear answer as to whether it has been overall harmful or beneficial for the environment, and because it varies so much with every crop. So it's hard to make these blanket statements because every crop is different and every crop, has a potentially different set of effects.
But that's the argument that's underlying this, whether GMOs, genetically engineered foods, are safe for the environment and whether they're safe for human health. What does the science say on whether they're safe for human health?
Well, so far I think the science is fairly clear that the genetically engineered foods and products on the market today have not been shown to have any health effects and are considered to be as safe and nutritious as non-GE foods. And this conclusion was reached by every major scientific academy, I guess, around the world that has reviewed it, including the National Academy of Sciences, the World Health Organization, and the national academies in countries like Germany and France, which certainly don't support foods, but genetic engineering. But there's a real open question as to potential long-term effects.
That's what we don't know. We haven't done those studies. Here's what the yes side says about that question.
We really don't know. We really, really don't know.
Well, the science tells us it's not dangerous.
No, that's not correct. The 600 studies cited by the opposition only look at, for example, calories, fat, vitamins, minerals, and protein. They do not look at toxicology or the impact to the consumer. And in fact, the FDA does not require, nor has it conducted, any safety assessments whatsoever. Market approvals are based entirely on industry research alone. And the industry's research is kept secret. It's not available for independent review or for public scrutiny. So there are plenty of reasons to say that you can't say that there's no harm if you're not looking and there's no long-term assessments. You can't say that.
What do you think of that argument?
Well, I think in a strictly technical sense, everything she said is true. But it's somewhat disingenuous, though, to say that the FDA doesn't require any safety testing. It's technically a voluntary process, but everybody does it. It would be just ridiculous for a company not to follow the FDA, to not undergo the FDA's voluntary review.
I'm talking about Initiative 522 and trying to get some sense of the arguments with Sandy Doughton, who reports on these issues for the Seattle Times. She's a science reporter. An underlying issue in this, as you started off with, is who owns the seeds? Monsanto controls 90% of the GM soy market, for instance. Crop is also Roundup Ready. More herbicides are used. Monsanto also makes the Roundup. Good business model. What does that tell me about the economy of the food industry?
Well, I suppose one thing that people will see is how pervasive genetically engineered ingredients are, and that says something about the food economy in the United States, the huge amount of processed foods that we eat. As to who controls the traits that are engineered into foods. I don't think the labeling will tell you anything about that. But right now, people can sort of make the presumption and be correct that these are, you know, primarily the products of big ag at this point.
People will see that. I mean, what's the percentage of genetically modified foods that aren't owned by big corporations, big agricultural corporations?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, but it's got to be pretty small.
You've looked at cost in your reporting a little bit, and your paper has. Did you look at it?
We have looked at it. The Washington Academy of Sciences did a review and sort of concluded that there will be some cost, that cost will increase to some extent, but they couldn't say by how much.
Yeah, I read in the Times, as a matter of fact, that it won't cost a dime in the ad supporting the 522. That's because they're saying it might cost about 8 cents for a food product. The labeling might cost about 8 cents. The folks who are saying it's going to be very costly, they're pointing to some studies that argue that the mechanism that will, the state will put into place could be costly. But the state itself has done studies that say, you know, maybe it'll cost millions, but that's over many years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I really think the, you know, the jury is still out on the question of cost. But I think it is, you know, fair to assume that there will be some cost borne by the food chain at some point or other, and some of that's likely to be passed on to the consumer.
You know, this is a very expensive campaign. Monsanto is spending millions. So are the people supporting this initiative. We heard that there's some aspects going on of this initiative in the Northeast, where if a number of states all agree to do it, then the labeling will take place there. It failed in California. What's actually happening here?
Well, as you know, an enormous amount of money is being poured into this campaign. This is the same thing that happened in California. And here, I believe the no side has raised about $17.2 million at this point, way more than the yes side. And anybody who watches television is seeing these ads.
Yeah, they're very big. Let me ask you a final question about this debate. We are trying to educate ourselves in a complex scientific argument. We need to be better educated consumers and understand the science better. Has this campaign helped us in any way understand the science better?
Well, I suppose it depends on what you read. If people have gone out and done a lot of research on their own and tried to find unbiased sources of information, then maybe it has, you know, educated them. I think if people are just relying on the ads, well, I don't think that's much of an education.
Sandy Doughton reports on science and science issues for the Seattle Times. Initiative 522 is on your ballots. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's The Record. I'm Steve Scherr.